Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, I'm Chad McAllister with Product Innovation Educators, where I teach ambitious people how to create market-winning products and help them be more successful in their careers. In the process, to help me be a better teacher, I frequently have innovation discussions with business owners and product professionals and entrepreneurs. And I'm grateful to have time with really the master today when it comes to learning from successful entrepreneurs, Andrew Warner. He's the founder of Mixergy, where, Andrew, you've interviewed like over 1,000 successful entrepreneurs already,
yeah, you know,
sharing their tips, yep, and practices and philosophies that led to their success. So thankful for the time this morning. I'm curious, you know, kind of how Mixergy started, because you were already a successful entrepreneur yourself, right? You had created this internet sales company doing over $30 million a year in revenue and sold that, and then, you know, went on later to create Mixergy. Was there a problem or need that you were, you know, kind of poking on to that formulated Mixergy?
Yeah, I'll talk about the mistake that I made there, especially since we're going to talk about an innovative product, mm-hmm, that actually worked, where I overcame the mistake. So we'll start with the mistake. I had this vision. I said, I'm at a point in my life where I want to help people and leave my own legacy. And so I started creating events as a way of doing that. And creating events didn't feel like enough. Mm-hmm. I thought, I need the perfect invitation system for that event. So I started spending tens of thousands of dollars to create an invitation software for it. Didn't get any outside feedback, didn't ask for help, said I had the successful company before, I know right what I'm doing. So I threw tens of thousands at it, then hundreds of thousands. I think by the end, I spent $300,000 on an invitation site that was used by, I would say, fewer than a dozen people. And that is a painful mistake that I finally said, I've got to close it up. I did a post where I said I failed online, I admitted it, I said it publicly, and I just finally freed myself of the shackle of trying to pretend that it was working. And from there, I said, I'm going to interview as many people as I need to in order to learn how to build a successful company. And that's how I got to 1,000 interviews. And I learned a lot, as we can talk about here today, if you like, about how to build better products, how to make sure that I don't make those same mistakes again.
Absolutely. What a great success story, right? So you had this huge success in your 20s,
yep,
went on then to do Mixergy. In the process, kind of went down a path that ended up being a failure for you, and certainly not the first time by any means that in my world of innovation, someone's developed a product that we later find out really no one wants, right?
Yeah,
kind of solving the wrong problem there, and used that to pivot and say, well, how can I not only learn but then help others to learn to be successful too. So at Mixergy, yeah, why don't we pursue one of those, a product idea where you said, you know, this is really something that offered value to our customers.
Well, we have all these interviews with people who teach how to build great companies. Mm-hmm. And I talk to people in the audience and say, so have you used it? You know, we've learned that you're supposed to talk to customers, potential customers, existing customers, see how they're doing, mm-hmm, and based on that, build products. So I asked people in my audience, are you doing it? And what I found was they'd say, I know I should, but I'm not. I don't have the time. I don't have this. I don't have that. And at the heart of it, when I really pushed them, I discovered that it's not that they don't have the time. It's that they have this inner critic that when they want to make a call to a potential customer, the inner critic says to them, you know, that customer doesn't want to talk to you. He's busy. That person doesn't know anything from you. You have no product to sell them, no value really to give in this conversation. Why would they want to tell you about what they need so that you can go out there and build it? And so that would cause them to procrastinate.
That was a pretty important insight to get to that,
yes,
deeper level.
It took a lot of phone calls. It took a lot of emails where, mm-hmm, I got to understand the root problem. And this was coming up a lot. You know, mm-hmm, we would even do an interview about on Mixergy about how to send out cold emails that get results. And people would shy away from doing that. That doesn't take much time. You can basically copy paste and go with it, you know. But the inner critic, I actually call it the counter mind. Whatever their mind wants to do, it just mentally counters it without really giving it much thought. Yeah, that email won't work for you. It worked for him. Ah, that email is actually going to sound a little bit too stiff. Ah, that email, you know, yes, the cold call guy that Andrew interviews says that it works for everyone, but it's not going to work for me. So we got to that. And I said, all right, this time I'm not going to just build a big product and say that I solved it. I did a video on my site, about 3 minutes worth, where I said, here's the problem as I've experienced it in my life. Has anyone had that and wants to talk about it? And I had a form underneath where people could fill it out and book a conversation with me. I got tons of people who wanted to do that. So I got on the phone with them, and now I had people who were willing to talk openly about this, and I asked them. Mm-hmm. And I heard their stories, and I understood the problem. And then I sent out an email to my whole list, and I said, here's the problem as I see it. Your mind wants to do something. It truly knows it could accomplish it, but another part of your mind comes in and counters it. You want to go for a run. Your counter mind says, ah, you don't have enough time. You have to take out the garbage. Mm-hmm. You want to return something to Amazon. Your counter mind says, ah, I don't have the printer. Amazon needs a package this way. And then you don't end up doing it. Let's talk about how we can solve it. And so I talked to them specifically about their counter minds. And then I emailed them and said, would you try this as a solution? And some people tried it and it worked. Other people said it doesn't work. So we adjusted and we just kept going. Just kept feeding them little bits of potential solutions. I looked at their feedback, and based on that, I adjusted the next step.
Wow. So that makes me think, you know, a lot of people involved in product development are very familiar with this minimum viable concept,
yep.
Minimum viable product.
Yep.
That sounds like, this is a really great example of how do you learn from your customers what they want. So you stumbled across this real pain point, but instead of rushing out and putting together a solution and then offering it, you engage them in that whole process. How did that evolve, roll out? Where are you now? Is it a packaged product?
It is a packaged site that now has a community of people who've gone through the program as we developed it. At first, it was actually, you know what the original idea was? I said, I'll do some interviews with people who can talk about how to get over this inner critic, the countermind. And people kept saying, no, I don't want an interview. I want you to tell me what to do step by step. Help me get out of this. Help me mm-hmm. get to what we call the true mind. Let me act on my true mind instead of my countermind. So I finally put out these processes step at a time. Then I created videos with little surveys afterwards for people to take, and then it became a whole big product that works now, that stands up on its own, where people have gone through it. One of our members had gone through it. She wanted to raise money, and she's actually now, I think she just raised money. She's coming to San Francisco to meet the investors. I've had several other people have similar examples. It's amazing. It's so much better than what I did before, where I threw hundreds of thousands of dollars at a product. Here, I did spend tens of thousands of dollars, but it was only after the simple solution worked.
Yeah, after you knew you had a product that offered value.
Yeah, the first version was me here in my office, and I couldn't even really do it on my own. So I said to my wife, would you come on camera with me, and we'll just explain this little concept, and then we'll give mm-hmm. people an exercise. And
right.
the finished product was we spent $10,000 on video production alone just to explain each step of the way.
Right. I know production value, matters to you, and you do a great job of having really valuable content, but also, something that's very easily consumable, good production values. So in that process, it sounds like you were really co-creating with the customers.
Yep.
That they were feeding you all the time really what they needed to know. Is this a process you've used more than once?
Yes, and we need to keep using it even more. So one place where we used it was I was on paternity leave, and I got emails from people asking me, hey, I've got this interview. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that part? And I realized, you know what? Now that I have some space from this, I should be teaching people how to do interviews.
Mm.
And so I actually thought, again, I'm not going to teach it right away and assume that everyone wants to know it. Maybe it's just a handful of people who happen to email me, but that's all there is. That's the whole demand. So I sent out an email to my audience saying, do you want me to teach you how to do interviews? And if they clicked yes, I said, well, what do you want to learn about it? And then if they filled out that form and they hit submit, I said, would you pay? And as soon as they hit the radio box that said yes, I said, okay, I might create it, but if you pay now, you'll get in. Like,
right.
Prove to me that you really want me to create it.
Right.
If I create it, you'll be in. If I don't, you'll get your money back.
Mm-hmm.
And people signed up for it.
I think that's such an important step for entrepreneurs, right? Because often we get to the first part. We say, I got this concept. I might throw a page up that talks about it. Are you interested? And if people are actually willing to put in their PayPal information or write a check, then you have something, right? That's
yes.
a new level of commitment.
And I have to tell you, too, that I wasn't going to use PayPal. I specifically did not want to use PayPal because I prefer Stripe. Stripe beautifully integrates with my site. But it would have taken me an extra 2 hours to figure out how to integrate Stripe with the form that I was using. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to go to PayPal. And then I got the button from PayPal in like 5 minutes. It made it so easy. But here's the other thing that I did. Mm-hmm. I only sent that first email out to about 10% of the audience. I looked at all the survey results, all the answers that they gave me. I pulled out the key ideas, the key issues that people had. It was, I don't have enough time to do interviews, even though I'd like to do it. It was not about the tech, which I assumed people would have problems with. I thought they'd all ask about what mic I use. But it was more about, how do I get a guest if I'm a nobody? How do I use it to build a reputation? So I started pulling these ideas out. And then I went back to the page that had a PayPal button, and above the PayPal button, I said, I'll teach you how to do an interview even if you don't have time, and I'll show you how to find guests even if you are a nobody, you know, if you think you're a nobody anyway, and so on. And that increased orders even more, so I knew, okay, now I'm on to something that they want. It was an amazing experience to do it that way.
Awesome. And you collected the benefit statements, it sounded like, from that survey, right? You knew what need to be expressed in your landing page and the advertisements you put together.
Yeah. What are you looking to do with this? I assumed that everyone was going to say that money was the most important benefit. And I thought, all right, great. Then I'll have to teach them how to do it and make money. The big thing was they wanted to build a reputation. So we added that.
Right.
You know, Chad, also, there's one other thing that I want to admit to. Mm-hmm. When I put that PayPal button, it wasn't like all these interviewees told me I should do it. All these successful companies told me I should do it. It's a no-brainer. I'll add it. And I was hesitant. I was a little afraid of charging for it. My first version said, if I create it by this, and I apologize if I don't. It was a really wishy-washy thing. But at least if I posted it online, I could hide behind the internet, and I could say, all right, let's just go for it. And I've gotten to a place where I can get past those inner doubts so that I could just post it up. But I don't want to pretend that it was just an easy of, hey, you know what? I'm going to go and charge these people, and it'll work out.
Right.
I still had to work through some of that hesitation, but this process allowed me to. I had someone who said, yes, I want you to teach me. Yes, I have a list of things I want to learn. Yes, I'd be willing to pay. Those three yeses meant I should be asking them for payment up front, and I should feel confident doing it. And so that's a really helpful process, and I highly recommend that people steal that process from me. It works really well.
I so much appreciate you sharing that with me and my audience. You had great validity there to move forward, right? You really validated. You were onto something and you knew what to do because you were co-creating it with the customers.
Yeah.
You know, if someone was pursuing product innovation, knew that they had to create products that offered more value to people, any tips that you would want to leave with them?
Yeah. I don't want to give people the impression that I promoted this stuff as a survey. I hate taking surveys. I think if you put out a survey, you're not going to get the real customers. If you say instead, I want to teach you, what do you want to learn, and not call it a survey, I think you're going to get better, more meaningful feedback. So if, for example, I want to know about the Mixergy audience, what's their biggest issue? I could email them and say, well, you fill out the survey, and I'll get a decent response. What I found instead is if I say, I want to give you the best interview on the site, tell me your problem, tell me your issues, and help answer some questions, and then I'll give you instantly the best interview that will solve that issue, I think I get a better quality of response. So now it's not a survey that's just going to help me. It's a form that's going to help them. And so they have more of an incentive to answer properly. People who are busy, who wouldn't ordinarily waste time on a survey, would still do this because they know that there's something in it for them. And I think too many people in this lean startup process talk about surveying your audience. And I don't have anything against it. But I'd suggest that this approach might get you a better response, meaning higher response rate, and get you better quality.
Right, I agree. It makes a lot of sense to put it in the terms of the customer. You know, as product developers, we sometimes get caught up in what the features are that we're putting together, as opposed to what's the actual benefits of the customer.
Yep.
So thanks so much for sharing that tip too. So for someone that wants to be more successful in business and take advantage of the resources at Mixergy, how can they find out more about that?
Best way to do it is to just go to Mixergy, and it's Mixergy, and listen to some of the interviews that we have up on there.
Very good. Andrew, again, I appreciate your time very much. Thanks for talking with me.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training Your Customers Will Love You For. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.